Welcome to the Annotated Jack. Non-productive's late to the party rewatch of Samurai Jack. It's been 15 years since Genndy Tartakovsky's groundbreaking animated series first went on the air, and in preparation for its upcoming fifth season, we're rewatching every episode of the original show.
Welcome everyone to another non-dash productive Samurai Jack rewatch. I'm James, and I'm joined not at all in studio by...
It's me, Frank!
And it's me, Al!
Well, and on this week...
Hold on a minute. I have the it's me's. What's going on, Al? We've talked about this. It's a me, Frank. I have the mustache. I have the right to do the it's a me's.
You don't have a mustache.
Oh, crap. It's a podcast. No one knows that, James. Don't throw me under the bus like this. All right, continue. I'm sorry.
In this week's episode, we're talking about episode 5, Jack in Space. Jack has to protect a group of human scientists by fighting Aku's forces in space.
That's right. A Muppets in Space reference. Hooray. It was a pretty good episode. I liked it overall. If I may go first, I just would like to say I love a particular style of art that we see a lot in this episode, and that's retro sci-fi. Anything that looks like it's supposed to be from the future of the 50s. And that we see a lot of. That's the model of the spaceship they build. It's definitely the astronaut, well, the scientists and their kind of dome-headed astronaut suits. Everything. It's really just, it really brings the episode together for me.
I'm going to completely join Frank on this one. I think the aesthetics are, once again, fantastic. I really like the past version of the future, like, a lot. I like the designs for each of the scientists. I love the... like, running around kind of nervous guy who's, like, in all of those freaking sci-fi films with the accent.
In the previous episode with the Woolies, we got one kind of disgusting nerd that everybody shared the same voice. And in this episode, we got, like, about a half dozen or so different kinds of nerds that are much, much more interesting.
I think I really enjoyed a lot of the humor in this episode, too. Kind of like in juxtaposition to the last episode, which, I mean, had some funny bits, was kind of like sad, maybe overall. I liked how, like, Jack kind of stumbled upon their society after being chased by the robots. I liked or thought that it was really funny that Aku has, like, specific laws, you know, even though he's, like, an evil dictator and it really doesn't matter. I liked Jack's training montage, you know, as he goes through space camp, as it were. Right. And I really was cracking up when they put the little rocket on his back, because clearly they believe this thing is unstable.
Okey-dokey, we're ready to go!
Yeah, all right. I really did enjoy that as well. There's a lot to like in this episode. I want to focus a little bit up on, we talked a little bit about the aesthetics. The sound design, once again, really impressive. If you listen to the first few minutes of this episode, are not quite in silence, but the silence of the deep woods. You know, you could hear the animals and the bird calls, I believe, and the insects, and definitely the water flowing from the waterfall that Jack is drinking from. It's really impressive when you can provide a worldscape just with the audio, and I really enjoy that with Samurai Jack in general.
I'm gonna say this: I love the insect robots. I've always loved insect robots, but they're fantastic in the show. I've forgotten how much I really liked them, and the little bit with the lighting the sword on fire to like. Burn the ticks off. That whole bit I thought was really good, too.
Yeah. That was so good. I loved that.
Oh, yeah. And whenever an insect robot gets cut in half, you could see the pink robot flesh inside and the wires that act as, like, internal organs. And it's you get the gruesome without actually being gruesome. It's pretty cool. Speaking of robots, I'd like to talk a little bit about the metaphysics of Samurai Jack, or you know, why we enjoy the show so much. So previously, all we had seen, at least when Jack was fighting Aku in the original, in his time, Aku was like a master sorcerer. Everything he's able to do is through magic. Upon being in the future, Jack now faces an Aku who can control technology, and in fact seems to use technology almost primarily in the way of subjugating people. We've seen a little bit here and there. This is the first time we've actually seen how intense it is that Aku's, like, stranglehold on all human ingenuity. And I think that's interesting because Samurai Jack the show and Jack the character don't kind of... it would have been very easy for Jack to have just been able to fight off technology with the power of his ancient sword and the good old ways of doing it. Arguably, that's what he did do in a way with the dog episode in the end of the first movie. He, you know, he uses technology, but he uses it like catapults. He uses the jet engines, but they're basically just, you know, ballistas. And he fights the rest of them off with sword. In this one, he adopts technology and uses it to fight back against technology. It's a more complex story than you would get from your typical kids cartoon, and I really do appreciate that.
I'm kind of the same with as Frank on that one too. I like the idea that it wasn't just, all right, let's get some crystals and make weapons out of them. It was he very quickly said, I can't fly. And that's where your battle is, and that was what the solution was. And I like that also. There was no turning up his nose at the idea that he could science his way back home. Like, obviously he's not going to go home in episode 5, but there was no, I'm not going to that. There's no way that would work. I would need magic, and he alludes to magic needing to be what needs to be the key, but is perfectly willing to accept these guys. At their word of saying, no, we can do that.
What I also think was really neat about the way technology plays in is, despite the fact that Jack has a jetpack now and is enjoying it, and he really is, he's got like joy on his face, he has to think back and like he has an earthy way of solving the issues that besiege the spacecraft, right? He remembers lighting a torch on fire to get rid of a tick. And he uses that to get rid of those robots. And, you know, it's still like, it's true to who Jack is as a character, this person from another time. But at the same time, it's accepting of the potential for what's out there in the universe. I do think they do a great job of riding that line between like historical fantasy and sci-fi.
So I actually totally want to talk for a second about Jack's big sacrifice here. So as much as I think it works, and as you said, Al, I don't think he's going home in episode 5, but how do we feel about this concept as a whole? I feel like maybe it might be early to bring up this conversation, but
no,
it's,
I think
certainly
this is
going to be a continuous theme.
Yeah, I swear to you, in my notes, I have this is the first in a long list of missed chances Jack has to go back home, and you know, it starts the trend that we will follow through the rest of the series. And I actually even noted that I don't know if Jack's sacrifice was really worth it this time around. I feel like the scientists were well on their way home. I don't know if him staying behind and risking all seemed really worth it. Perhaps because they didn't really establish that they only had one chance to make it to that speed to escape. I don't believe they mentioned that in the show. It felt like a trope that I could fill in the blanks myself, but I don't think it was actually established. But it seemed like...
I feel like they...
Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like they established the opposite. You've got that, you know, the Star Wars 3PO joke where they're playing the odds all the time. But, you know, the astronaut that's always mentioned in the odds kind of mentions the exact opposite, you know, that there's a very unlikely chance that they're going to hit them.
Right.
You know, and even though Jack is like, oh, well, I can't take that chance. It's you could take that chance.
I appreciate that what they're establishing with Jack, that he wouldn't take the chance on the lives of other people that he kind of endangered. Great. That's Jack the hero. And I guess there's no really other way of him doing it. But I feel like a little bit onto, I guess what my hang up was, I didn't understand why they couldn't just try another pass. You know, like they could have stopped their ship, had Jack destroy the wasp robots, and then, all right, he's good. Get back on get back on the ship, and we'll try this again. I didn't think that was established. I don't know. I'm not quite sure about that, but that may just be a nitpicking on our part. But yeah, it does. It is the beginning of a long trend that we're going to be facing.
Yeah, I feel like we're like pre-nitpicking. Like, obviously, like in episode 5, it's not a big deal. As Al says, we're kind of like, we're not ready for Jack to go home yet. But by the time we hit season 4 and he's still kind of sacrificing himself, you know, at a chance of going home, and it's kind of like, well, you know, you've been at this for a while now, Jack. So I don't know. I guess we'll see if this, if our fears that this will become a continuous kind of down point for us.
Yeah, I don't, I just want to, I don't think for me it's about like, oh God, you missed your chance. It's more like, ah, I feel like you, you know, you played it a little too safe this time around. I don't know.
I don't know. I kind of like that about this episode. I mean, again, I'll have to see how I feel with the other ones, but that was what I kind of dug about it, was like, hey, you guys are playing the odds the whole time, and you kept doing it each time. Like, you know, you had, you know, they were against you every time, and you kept beating them. And I liked that in the end, yeah, the bad guys still had their one chance of doing it, and Jack's like, you know what, if I can do this, there's nothing saying they can't do it, sort of thing. And
oh, so
I liked the bad guys had their one in a million chance that they were going to make it, and they might have. And I think, yeah, there's even evidence that they would have.
Well, Jack claiming that Jack was superstitious of the die rolls. He's like, I don't know, dice karma. We seem to be getting these long odds. Maybe the bad guys will too.
I kind of like that, though. Yeah. Because I don't feel like that's done enough. I feel like they always do the, oh, the heroes have a 75 billion to one chance.
And they
do it. We got it. And then, like, I like there was a reverse moment where they said, oh, well, that's not going to hit. It's like a 7 billion in one chance. And the hero's like, yeah, but I've had that. I've beaten that.
Maybe you're just bad at statistics.
I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, maybe you're just bad at statistics, guy. Scientist who keeps rattling off statistics. Maybe you're not really doing this right. Huh, interesting.
Yeah, that's what he thought.
I think my favorite moment from this episode is uncomfortable Jack's eyes when he sees the tea floating in space.
That's right. Yeah, that was good. That was good. I like that one.
I think there's another really great moment, which was like one of those weird, like, badass moments that, like, you give heroes, where, like, they're in the middle of a party and there's all this noise going around, there's music playing, people are talking with him, and he still goes, wait, hold on, I can hear the enemy coming, like, miles away
through
this busy party.
through space!
I can barely hear it. They'll be here in the morning.
There's the vacuum of space. How did he hear them? It was amazing. I like everything about that 70s club scene, and I'm glad that when they built the spaceship, that they decided, we need a lounge. We need a 70s lounge here, so we can, like, listen to, like, cool jazz on record players. So good. So what's next? What's the next big episode we have to review?
So next week, we will be reviewing actually one of my favorite episodes from the first season, Jack and the Warrior Woman, episode 6.
Oh, that's going to be good. If you would like to join us on one of our Annotated Jack podcasts, please message us via psychic waves or on, you know, social media accounts, because, you know, some of us don't get the psychic waves. We don't pay for the data plan. But thank you very much. Thank you, James. Thank you, Al. This was fun.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
You can say you're welcome, you assholes.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow.
You're welcome, Frank.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.